2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Paul, at the end of his days in prison, and he's writing these last words, and he makes a comment about a brother in the Lord that is with him. Now, that may not sound like that's very important, but that's very important, because in the Lord, it's good to have a relationship with a fellow laborer in Christ that's on the same page that you're on. And that's very important. So we want to look at this a little bit. Luke is with me. Take Mark. Okay, he mentions another name. And bring him with thee. He's still focusing on ministry. Watch. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, if you think ministry isn't important, you're missing the whole thing here. Ministry is important. Ministry means helping others come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Helping others grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's ministry. Now, you can call this a ministry, that a ministry, but if it fails to deal with folks about their soul and fails to deal with folks about growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jack Grigsby used to say this: if your ministry does not involve the salvation of souls, you have a failing ministry. You know what? I'm inclined to agree with that. There's a lot of things are called ministry today, but they're not God-called ministry. So we can get involved in all kinds of things. We can do this, we can do that, but if it doesn't ask the question to those you minister to, have you been born again, then something's wrong with that ministry. So he says here, they're profitable to me for the ministry, verse 12, and Tychius, you could pronounce that Tychius or Tychius, have I sent to Ephesus. We'll comment on that. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. So there were some things right there that were recorded, allowed by the Holy Ghost of God, that are important to the man of God. I think it's interesting where he was at. It might have been a little chilly and a little damp, and he might need that cloak, that coat. Interesting. But let's look at verse 11. Luke is with me. Luke may have been the only, and I'm careful when I say this because of theology, history of the Bible, names in the Bible, but Luke could have been a Gentile. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to be dogmatic on that point. But if he is, he would be the only Gentile writer that we can acknowledge in the Bible. But I'm not sure. Notice, if you would, Colossians chapter 4. Turn to Colossians 4, verse 7. And let me show you why I say this. I don't want to throw something out there and you say, well, Brother Phil said Luke's a Gentile, but he never proved anything. Well, I don't know if I can prove this or not. I'm not really trying to. Let me give you the verse of definitive learning, if you might say, on this statement. In Colossians chapter 4, again, the Apostle Paul is the author of this book, and so when he writes it down, he's very consistent in his theology, in his writing, so on and so forth. But watch, if you would, in verse 7, all my state shall Tychius, now that's a guy we just read about, so it's around the same time frame, Tychius declared unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And now he's actually telling you a little about Tychius, or Tychius, however you want to say it. Verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. And could I say this right here? It's not unusual for a pastor to send someone, a preacher, a minister, to a certain place or a certain job. It's not unusual for that pastor to say, would you be willing to go to Batesville and minister in the nursing home up there just this Sunday? And you would say, who does he think he is? Well, he's the man of God. And I understand he's like anybody else, but he has the call and the foresight maybe of what the Lord might want the church to do and reach out. And believe me, he wouldn't call on you if he didn't think you'd go. And Paul's the same way. These are fellow laborers, fellow servants, and they want to do the bidding of the Lord. They want to minister. But it's not unusual for a pastor, and that'll tell you the spiritual temperature of your church. So I wouldn't go up there. Me? Absolutely not. Well, hang around. You need more teaching. And you need to grow in Christ, so on and so forth. And if the pastor would ask me, and you know me, would you go up there and do that? I'd go, because I tell him all the time, is there anything you want me to do? I'll go do it. I don't say that too much to Jeremiah, because he'll put me to work. I'm just kidding. Anybody could say that. Somebody else could come to me. Brother Samuel could come to me. He's the minister to the Amish. And he'd say, hey, Brother Phil, he says, I want you to go, and he has before, why don't you go with me to visit somebody, an Amish or somebody? I would go. You say, what? Because that's ministry. So it's not unusual, and I'm right there in Colossians, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate, know about you, how you're doing, and comfort your heart. So there's a ministry involved, and when you affect the heart, comfort the heart, watch verse 9, with Onesimus. Now, there's another man that shows up in the book of Philemon, a faithful and beloved brother who is, now watch this, who is one of you. What does that mean? Well, it can mean a number of things. Number one, he's a Christian, he's a fellow laborer, and he is all those things. Watch it. Let's see if we can get any understanding out of the scripture. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you, and Marcus, sister's son of Barnabas. And there's a little parenthesis here. The Holy Spirit's going to give you a note. Touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And he did, and they were to receive him. Watch. And Jesus, which is called Justice, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another Jesus. And the name Jesus is very common in the Latin culture. What is it? How do they say Jesus in Jehovah's God? Jesus. Yeah, it's Jesus. So say, I'm Jesus. And they said, oh, you're Jesus. Oh, not that Jesus. You know, they're pretty quick to tell you if they're understanding at all of any scripture. But anyway, Jesus, which is called Justice, watch this. And he said, who are one of you? Watch what the Holy Spirit puts in here. Here's the words, who are of the circumcision. Now, to the casual Bible reader, that might not mean anything. But who are the circumcision? Jews. And the circumcision is always contrasted to the uncircumcised. Who are the uncircumcised? Gentiles. So now, and not trying to read anything into the scripture at all, but when you go back, he says, and you look at the context of where we're at, with Onesimus, the faithful beloved, in verse 9, brother who is one of you. What is that talking about? And we see there in the next verse, verse 11, who are of the circumcision. Now watch what he says. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is, be careful, one of you. Now that either means fellow servant, fellow preacher, or of the circumcision, fellow Jew. Okay, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Verse 13, I'm in Colossians 4. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea. Now we're talking about the them. There's somebody else, them. Watch the word them. And he's going to describe it. And them in Hierapolis, verse 14, Luke. Now, wait a minute. This is the same guy we're talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And this is obviously before Demas forsook him. But they are in another catalog of people, not considered and not in the catalog of who are of the circumcision. Say, boy, that's a stretch. Could be. But I have found out that every word of God that is mentioned in the word of God is there for a specific reason, for a specific lesson, and is there to teach us something. And it's not a mountain to die on at all if you don't believe that Luke could have been a Gentile. And I'm still like, okay, why would God bring one Gentile in to write one book of the Bible? He'd have to be one special dude. But he could be a picture of the coming church. I don't know, and I'm not going to make more out of it than this. But let's look at Luke. Now, we looked at here, Luke is with me. Luke may have been the only Gentile, as we said. We give you a few proof verses. Look at Luke. Luke, the gospel is the book of Luke, St. Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke is one of the gospels. The gospel is a companion volume to the book of Acts. Now, I don't know if you knew that or not. You say, why? Same writer, same author. Oh, see, so Acts was written also by Luke. And the language and structure of these two books indicate that both were written by the same person. We understand that. They are addressed to the same individual, Theophilus. And the second volume refers to the first. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, there's a reference there. Certain sections in Acts use the pronoun we. And like I said, the Holy Spirit chooses these words, allows these words, and these words can be a lesson in themselves to you and I if we pay attention to it. And these words are found in Acts 16:10 through 17, 25, 2015, 21:1. I'm not going to run them all down. 2018, I'm just showing you the consistency of the writings, which are the same in the two books, 27:1, 28:16, and one day there'll be a handout for these lessons that I have, and you'll be able to go back and get all these. Anyway, indicating that the author was with Paul when the events described in these passages took place. And that's Luke. He was with him. By process of elimination, Paul's dear friend Luke, and he's a physician or the doctor, he's a medical doctor of that day, and that's found in Colossians 4:14, which we just read to you with our proof text. And fellow worker, that's Philemon 24. He's always included as a fellow worker, but one time he's not in a specific group, and that was the group of the circumcision. So be careful. So it becomes the most likely candidate. His authorship is supported by the uninformed testimony of early Christians. If you study any Christian's history, I got a couple references here. We won't run them down. Luke was probably a Gentile by birth, well-educated in the Greek culture, a physician by profession. Now, I'm getting this from history, and I included it for a little more background, but your best commentary on the Word of God is the Word of God, not history. That's why I gave you Colossians. But let me give you a little history as a secondary reason that he might be a Gentile. A profession, a companion of Paul at various times from his second missionary journey to his final imprisonment in Rome. And that's what we're dealing with here in 2 Timothy. And a loyal friend who remained with the apostle after others had deserted him. And that's in verse 11 where we were at. And Antioch of Syria and Philippi are among the places suggested as his hometown. And I actually copied that out of a Vines or Encyclopedia, Bible Encyclopedia. So, interesting. See, what does it matter? Not a lot, but don't you just love to learn something about the Word of God that maybe you didn't know before? And you say, well, is it going to help save sinners? No, it might not help save sinners, but it will help you be encouraged to the power of the Word of God that we're dealing with here. Okay, verse 11. We dealt with Luke in verse 11, but now in verse 11 again, And that verse said, take Luke, it said, only Luke is with me. Then there's a period, and then there's take Mark, comma. All right, so we got to deal with Mark a little bit. And Mark, and it says, and bring him with thee. And first, when somebody mentions Mark in the same sentence with the Apostle Paul, they say, oh, didn't they fall out? Didn't they have a falling out? Wasn't there a problem there? I mean, didn't they have some trouble and they couldn't get it right? And Paul said, you know, you go your way and I'll go my way. And man, they got it right. It changed. Somebody forgave somebody. Amen. You say, how do you know? Because of here. He's in the last days. He's looking to die. And he's including Mark, John Mark, that's his real name, in all this, which tells me whatever the problem was back in the day, it's not a problem today. He said, does that happen? That, yes, that happens. And that should happen. You shouldn't stay mad at somebody 99 years. Amen. Now, I know we migrated here from Kentucky and Tennessee and West Virginia, places like that, and we're Scotch-Irish, and, you know, we're full of this this thought and that thought and all this and that. And some of us Irish heritage, German background people can hold a grudge for 30 years. But that ain't right, amen? That ain't right. So Mark, it is generally agreed that the Mark who is associated with Peter in the early non-biblical tradition is also the John Mark of the New Testament. And I believe that's true. The first mention of him, and these are just my studies as I run the name down. So the first mention of him is in connection with his mother, and who was Mary. And there's a lot of Marys, at least seven Marys mentioned in the Word of God, who had a house in Jerusalem that served as a meeting place for believers. Say, how'd you get that? Acts chapter 12, verse 12. When Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch from Jerusalem after the famine visited, Mark accompanied them, Acts 12, 25, and Mark next appears as a helper to Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, Acts chapter 13, verse 5. But he deserts them at Perga in Pamphylia. And there's a map, if you can see where all this is at. And he deserts them in Pamphylia to return to Jerusalem. And the reference in Scripture is Acts 13, 13. So this happened earlier in the Apostle Paul's ministry. Paul must have been deeply disappointed with Mark's actions on this occasion. You say, really? You mean that could happen in the ministry? Absolutely. Everybody doesn't see exactly eye to eye. And a lot of folks wear their feelings on their shirt sleeves, or their, we'll say, on their shoulder. And if somebody bumps them or hurts them, they're mad for years. There's people out of church today because they got upset. So anyway, Mark's actions probably were what the occasion was about, because when Barnabas proposed taking Mark on the second journey, Paul flatly refused, a refusal, and broke up their working relationship. That all happened in Acts chapter 15, verse 36 down through verse 39, right before Acts 16, which is known as the chapter in the book of Acts of the great debate, whether it's of works or grace. So there was an issue there, and it could have been about something like that. Because Mark would have been old school Jewish and would have believed in the works meets for repentance sake. Amen. Because he is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matter of fact, the book of Mark was probably written before the book of Matthew, if Bullinger's date system is correct. Now, I know I'm teaching about the Bible more than I'm teaching the Bible, so let me apologize there. But you're on that level. You'll get this. Mark on the second. Let me get right here. Barnabas took Mark. And by the way, Barnabas was that guy that the Lord recorded, and he's the only guy in the Bible that God records this of and said, he is a good man. Now, look, he didn't say that about anybody else in the Scriptures. Not that there weren't other good men, but the Lord thought it necessary that it be recorded that Barnabas go down in history as a good man. And I have a message on Barnabas being a good man. And man, when I began to study that and look at that thing, it was just phenomenal what God thinks a good man is. Amen. So Barnabas took Mark, who was his cousin. Now, I didn't realize that till I read Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. And departed to Cyprus. I probably should go get that. I'm in Colossians. No, I'm not. I'm in Timothy. Let me go back. Let me look at Colossians 4:10. And I might have wrote that down, and I might not have. But until, so I don't skip past it. Because a lot of times when you say things like that, people say, oh, there's no way. He wasn't his cousin. Well, watch this, if I can find it. I just read it yesterday. 4:10. Okay, 4:10. Okay, he says, now you got this. I was over here before. verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salute you, and Marcus. Now that's Mark. Marcus is the same as Mark. Watch. Marcus's sister's son to Barnabas. Oh, look at that. They're related. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't either. See, how's that going to help me? I don't know. But I'm just of the mindset, anytime you learn anything about the Word of God, it's going to help you somehow spiritually. Amen. Amen. So, they're cousins. And they departed for Cyprus. No further mention is made of either of them in the book of Acts. Mark reappears in Paul's letter to the Colossians, where I'm at, written from Rome when he was in prison. Paul sends a greeting from Mark and adds, you have received instruction about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now, that's the same guy. He said, he's not profitable to me. So he's in prison now. Obviously, there's been a change. I don't think the change was in Paul so much as it was in Mark so much. And you know something I've learned from Scripture? If you're going to have an out with somebody, make sure it's a scriptural reason, not a character flaw. Amen. Because character flaws, you ain't got a leg to stand on. Here, if he comes to you, welcome him. Colossians 4:10, we just read it. And then Philemon 24, written about the same time. At this point, Mark was apparently beginning to win his way back into Paul's confidence. You say, how did that happen? Well, I don't know, but let me, and I'm careful with when I offer subjections or when I offer ideas, it was probably a doctrinal thing. And because it happened in Acts 15, and you have the great debate in Acts 16 over grace and law or grace and works, it's possibly, and Mark being a Jew of old school status and an apostle, and heard Peter preach and heard John the Baptist preach and heard the Lord preach before he was rejected of the Jews, probably was struggling like a lot of the church in the book of Acts was, and Jerusalem was struggling over works and grace. And by the way, churches are still struggling over the same thing today. See, what are you saying, Brother Phil? I'm saying there's a lot of churches that believe repent and be baptized for salvation, because that's what Acts 2:38 is. But that was to the Jews there who were transitioning over to the period of grace. By Acts chapter 16, it was all of grace, none of works. You say, well, there's a change. No, not a change in salvation, a change in how God deals with men. You're into a Gentile church now, so you follow what I'm saying. Now, I know we're on a little bit different level here. I understand that, and I didn't tell any jokes this morning. I didn't tell any crazy stories. I'm not good at that. I'm better at just following my notes. Amen. So verse 12, Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus. So in our lesson, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable in the ministry. So it's all about the ministry. How can I help the ministry? How can I be a blessing? So on and so forth. Now, don't mishear me. At the bottom line, always we should be concerned for souls, always. And I realize the person that cleans the church says, well, I didn't win anybody to Christ, but you clean the church for those that do win them. So there are helpers, fellow laborers, so on and so forth. But when you set yourself aside and go out, and that's within the church, that's within the church. When you go outside the church and start another, be careful, quote-unquote ministry, and you're feeding the county or whatever you do, and it doesn't involve Christ, it doesn't involve the Bible, doesn't involve telling anybody about Christ, then that I don't call that a biblical ministry. Amen. Or if you get into the entertainment world, let's say I'm a pretty good artist. I don't know if you knew that, and I'm stroking myself here. If I went out there and just painted pictures and sold pictures and called it a ministry and never told anybody about Christ, I don't have much of a ministry. I'm a pretty good singer. Yeah, I can play the piano, play the guitar. If I went out there and tried to make a ministry out of that, and failed to tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd have a failing ministry. Now, amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you got to focus on what is ministry and what's not ministry. And if it's within the church, you say, well, I cleaned the commodes and I didn't help anybody to Christ. If I got a failing ministry, no, because you're within the church. I'm saying when you go without the church and broadcast it and do this and that and all this other stuff, run all over the place doing this and doing that, and there's a whole lot of that going on out there in the name of Christ, and brother, it's no more ministry. It's just cheap entertainment. Amen. That's what it is. So let me come back here. He says, Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus. Why is he sending these people off? Well, ministry. And I had a little note on this man, Tychius or Tychius. Dictionary, Easton's Biblical or Bible Dictionary says this. Tychius, the word means change or chance. People say different things. An Asiatic Christian of the area, a faithful minister in the Lord. And Ephesians 6:21 has his name. Ephesians 6:22 has his name. Who with Trophimus, another Bible name we find in these same places, accompanied Paul on part of his journey from Macedonia to Jerusalem. Acts 20:4, a lot of stuff. The book of Acts ties in closely to what's going on in the New Testament. And then he says he is alluded to also in Colossians 4:7, where we were earlier, all my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. So he's with Paul, and he could declare how Paul was doing. So we find him there. Titus 3:12 mentions him. 2 Timothy 4:12, which is our text, as having been with Paul at Rome or in his final days, whence he sent him to Ephesus. Okay, why did he send him to Ephesus? Because there was a need there. Just like he sent Titus to Crete, and he told him to establish the work of the church and make elders among you and so forth. Part of the ministry, what we do as churches, probably for the purpose of building up and encouraging the church there. And you know, as a church, we can learn a lot from this. As a church, when our leaders or ministers fail to do the things that we see the New Testament church doing, I can't help but think we're failing in some capacity. Because it's not just sit around and get fat on the spiritual food and get fat on the fellowship and get fat on whatever flips your switch and not tell anybody about Christ. I think we're failing as a church. So, and I'm not saying our church is failing. I'm going to say every church probably could tighten it up a notch. Amen. So here, as we go on, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, I don't know, with a cloak. Something you put on. There's a lesson in having two coats and one coat. When thou comest, bring with thee. So they were traveling and they bring stuff. And the books. So there were books in those days, and he used books to study. And you'll hear guys get up and say, the guy, you know, he's got always got his nose stuck in some book someplace. Yeah, well, he better have his nose stuck in a book someplace. Amen. Because last time I checked, God ain't calling many wise people to preach. Well, that's good, preacher, because he chose the foolishness, and he chose those. And you say, why? Because they don't know anything, and they're not messed up with educational systems of the world and theology and religion of the day, and they better get in a book that's good. And he says, and the books, but especially the parchments. And the parchments were something that held, and I don't know if it was some of the original writings, some of the old writings, but the parchments, and I thought about that. So let me say this, books are important. Every preacher I know probably has a library of some kind. Now today we have a library on a phone, and that was such a blessing to me to be able to have everything that I do on an iPad or a computer years gone by when we travel, because you take your office with you, you set up, and you do your studying right there, and I have access at my fingertips, many books. You say, is it important? Sure, it's important. I thought you guys just got up and let her fly. Open your mouth and let her fly. No, no, when you do, I'll be saying the same things over and over again, telling you the same story, the same dumb jokes, everything. You know what I mean. Gotta be careful, boy. There's enough of me in this thing as it is. All right, we're done this morning. Now, next time, there's not a lot going on in 2 Timothy, and I'll reevaluate. There's just a closeout. I'll probably squeeze one more lesson out of this, and I think I have 28 lessons in the book of 2 Timothy. It'll be 29. I doubt if there's 30, and then I'll get direction from Pastor Tom, Pastor Jeremiah, as to which direction we're going. We're trying to teach things that are pertinent to our conference, teach things that are pertinent to what we need in the pew to help us, to encourage us, to fire us up, and keep us going for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Yes, Maggie Hopping. Amen. That's good. That's a good note to end on. Thank you for that information. That's an answer to prayer for that man, I know. So now, once he's COVID-free, does that mean he'll be here for chicken after a while? And I don't know, man. I don't know. But that's good news. I'm happy because, man, I miss that dude. I miss him. I'm not Tom Holt. Jeremiah is not Tom Holt. And I know Tom Holt won't last forever. Brother Samuel, you ain't Tom Holt. You know, we need Brother Tom. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the good report on Pastor. I ask you to bless him and help him and encourage him, strengthen him, give him strength back. Miss Joyce and all that that are here and that here. And we're thankful for the good news. Bless now our service. Bless Brother Jeremiah as he preaches. Bless our offerings. Bless our singers and our singing. And bless our church and those that get in. Save those that are nearest hell. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. All right. Good morning. God bless you.